Well, spring has sprung. Hi, I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host, and it is time for KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Call in right now at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or join us on our social media desk where we are live streaming the show on Facebook. What makes your desert garden grow? Whether you have a green thumb or would like to have one, Jeff Anderson with the Cooperative Extension Service at NMSU is our special guest, and he is here to offer tips on how to be a successful gardener in our region. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift certificate courtesy of Guzman's Color Your World Garden Centers with two locations in Las Cruces. Thank you to Gary Guzman for supporting KRWG Public Media. Well, here we are, Jeff. It is spring, or is it spring?
Well, they call it meteorological spring, so it's not actually the March 20th, the official equinox, but yeah, we're into spring.
All right, so how has the weather been in this early, you know, winter of January, February? You know, I started seeing some folks on social media were showing their tulips were already sprouting. How tricky is it right now for these plants to realize that it's not officially spring?
Well, there isn't really anything we can do about it. Mm-hmm. These plants are from different parts of the world where the spring comes in differently. So once their winter dormancy is satisfied, that's the number of chill hours they need, they're going to bloom and there's nothing we can do to stop them. But the only thing we can do is just enjoy them.
And one of the things you suggested was to be prepared to have plants that you can cover.
Yes. So if you grow some smaller things, I grow some different citrus trees here in Las Cruces, believe it or not. But in the wintertime, I'll throw a tarp over them. Okay. A lot of things are cold hardy down to about 18 degrees, and that just that breaking point. Every year we hit 18, but a lot of times we never even get there. So being prepared and to cover up your plants like that, the tender ones.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. We are taking your calls and social media questions. Michael Kasmerick is standing by the social media desk, ready to hear from you, so you can tune in and ask your questions on social media. As I mentioned, we have a $25 gift certificate to Guzman's Color Your World for all. We have a drawing for everybody that calls in and asks their questions on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Again, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. One of the earlier questions that I had on social media was regarding some good flowering plants to plant that are perennials and some that they can enjoy throughout the summer. What are some good plants for our region?
Okay, so I'll try to go through this pretty quickly. Okay. So in the spring, you can enjoy forsythia, the flowering quince right now. They're all in bloom and looking great. There's flowering almond, and there's several other spring-type bushes, remembering that these need water. These are not native to here. Getting into the summer months, we might get into some different viburnums, and, of course, the vitex. They get pretty large, vitex do. And then we've got some, let's see, we had some honeysuckle in the spring. So it's kind of hard to have summer blooming shrubs. Generally, they're more green. So most shrubs bloom early in the spring, or they're going to bloom in the fall.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. We are able to answer your questions on what are some good plants for the region. Are you having trouble with some of your plants and would like Jeff Anderson to offer some tips and some advice? Give us a call, ask your questions, or join us again on social media where we are live streaming the show. Say hello, Jeff.
Hello there.
All right. So what do we have here that you brought in today?
So these plants I actually picked up at Guzman's Color Your World Greenhouse. So we have the white one is alyssum, and that's fairly cold hardy around here in the spring, so it can take some light frost. Then we've got two different things of marigolds.
Marigolds.
They don't take cold at
all. They don't take cold.
So they're starting to get them out, but these are the kind of things you could put into a pot right now and get going and just cover them up with a blanket if it's going to get too cold.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation or you can join us on social media where we have Michael Kaczmarek ready to hear from you. What about vegetables? That's a very common question I know you get. People have challenges with different vegetables. I've had very good success with zucchini. And it seems that every summer on social media, I've got friends that are showing off their pictures of giant zucchinis. Is it healthy to let them grow that big, or should we cut them off at a certain point?
Generally, you want to harvest your zucchini when they're about 8 to 10 inches long. The longer you leave them on the plant, the more woody they're going to get, because they're going to seed. So that seed is going to develop. The seed's going to get hard, so you're not going to be left with much to eat on the inside. So every year at the Southern New Mexico State Fair, we get the giant vegetable, and usually it's a zucchini, but most of the time they're not edible.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. All right, let us go to our phone lines where we have Mark. Mark, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. What's on your mind, sir?
Thank you. So my wife and I bought a home last fall, and our backyard is pretty much completely overtaken with wild arugula. And so my question is, what's the best way to get rid of it, and what grass might you recommend we plant to take back our yard?
Okay, a variety of questions there. So okay. How do you get rid of arugula? Generally, if you're going to be organic, you can spray it with vinegar. You can chop it down with a hoe. Hoeing it down is the most organic way you can possibly do it, pulling it out with your hands, hoeing it down. There's some corn gluten you can use if you want to be organic. And after that, then you're going to start getting into chemical use. And I know people don't like to talk about Roundup, but Roundup is effective. But generally, you should try going out there and hoeing it down as well. But okay. I'll also say, if you start early enough in the spring, like April for the summer weeds and around the end of September for the winter weeds, you can use a pre-emergent herbicide.
Gotcha.
And what was your question about grass? What to plant?
The kind of grass.
Yeah.
So if it's in full sun, generally the most common one used here is Bermuda grass, something like a Tiff Green or Sahara or Princess. Then you have fescue grasses, and they're generally almost pretty much evergreen here, almost evergreen. They get a little yellow in January, and those are real popular. After that, then you have some native ones like buffalo grass and grama grasses, or if you really worked at it, you could do St. Augustine grass, which is from St. Augustine, Florida, kind of that area. They use it a lot.
Sure. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Mark. Mm-hmm. 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Let us go to Amy. Amy, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm interested in doing some raised beds to raise some vegetables, and I've never done it before. What do you recommend to fill the beds with, and what vegetables do you recommend starting with, especially with a lower water ratio?
I have a friend who tried raised beds 4 years ago and was very successful.
Mm-hmm. Around here, some of the most successful gardens outside of our farming fields that we do on a more commercial basis, some of the most successful ones I've seen are raised beds. Basically, what you want to do is build a really good, strong framework because it's got to hold the whole thing together. So once you get that built, and I can do a little example. I work out at the Southern New Mexico Correctional Facility helping to teach gardening just like this out there. And we build raised beds out of pallets. So we turned the pallets on their side, lined the inside with plywood, and then filled them up basically out there because of where you're at and you can't haul a lot of stuff in there. We fill them up with the native soil and then improve that with a peat moss type solution mix into there. But if you're going to fill it up at your own home, what you can do is if you can get, you know, it can be really expensive depending on the size of the raised bed that you're doing, but filling it with the city gives away free compost, mix that with sand, and then towards the top of the mix when you're filling it up, then you can use a better, like, garden soil or compost that's a little finer. Sometimes the city compost has sticks in it, but get a finer compost where the vegetables are actually going to grow into it.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host. With me is Jeff Anderson with the Cooperative Extension Service at New Mexico State University. Jeff, so if people have questions, they can come to you and ask them, but also in different counties, there's an extension service.
Exactly. So there's an extension office in every county. Hopefully there's an agent because people get older and retire and that, so there can be turnover. But there should be an agent currently, I think, in every county. We're fully filled, I think,
okay,
at the moment.
All right, let's go to our social media desk where Michael Kasmarek has been standing by. Michael, what are people saying on social media?
I've got a question, Edmundo and Jeff, from Mark, who wants to know, can you grow a bonsai tree here that thrives in this climate?
I'd say yes. Just picking the right plant material. And so you can look at desert plants and see how they would work for planting. I think one of the ones that comes to my mind is turpentine bush. It's native here. It has small leaves. It can have this real rugged characteristic bark looking on it. And it's at a benefit in the fall. It flowers with yellow flowers on it. You wouldn't have to worry about bringing it inside.
Oh, very cool. Well, and I've got another one here from Andrew, who wants to know, what was the average last freeze or frost for the Alamogordo-Las Cruces area? And what's the average time length?
Okay, the average, let's say, first freeze, let's start in the fall. Mm-hmm. When I first moved here, it was around November 3rd, and I've heard it's as early as into October 28th, 27th in that area. Generally, that's down by the river. And then the last freeze was generally around the 1st of April. Sometimes it's earlier. So people that live within the city, I haven't had a freeze at my house since back in February. And my first freeze can be all the way into December before I have a first freeze sometimes. Generally the end of November.
End of November?
But for most people, it's going to be, they say, the first week of October, or first week of November, and the first week of April.
April?
Right.
Okay, goes all the way into April. Okay.
Yep.
575-646-2212. Michael Kasmarek is standing by the social media desk. Again, all calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card, gift certificate to Guzman's Color Your World. That way you can go out there and see what kind of plants you'd like to plant. If you have questions as to what plants you're planning on planting this spring in your garden, ask Jeff Anderson. We've got Travis standing by. Travis, thank you for being patient. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, my question is this. Actually, it goes back to the question about composting. I'm trying a Bokashi composting system. It's a pickling system that I read about from the Northwest. And I'd just like to have any comments you have on that, using that. I'm using it now, but using that here in the desert.
I haven't had any personal work or work with anybody that's using that system. I've heard of it, but I have not seen anybody.
What's involved in the system? What's involved in it, Travis?
The gist of it is as I've read about it, you can use just about anything in the composting. You use a 5-gallon bucket. It's an anaerobic system rather than an aerobic system. It's in two parts. One, you throw almost everything instead of just grains in to the bucket. And it cooks, if you will, for a couple of weeks. And then you bury it in the garden in a row. I've got raised beds. And it finishes composting. And it looks to me like it's just disappearing very quickly.
Right.
So in the garden bed.
Anything that works with composting, there's a lot of different types around. I compost as brush piles. So I chop everything up, and I just put it right in the garden, and I let nature work at it from the bottom down. And so it's like a mulch. The other one is like at the city. So the city provides the free compost where they actually turn it, mix it, make sure there's enough moisture, and it breaks down. And we have that available. And then we have the type that you were just mentioning with the fermenting process. So, yeah, many different types.